Let the devil in, alien, alien, phone home. Ain't no telling when the choke hold on this game and I'm loco.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. And it's the end of the month, the beginning of a new month. That's kind of how time works. And with every new month now lately, we are going month by month looking forward. We're going to the monthly previews, what is coming to theaters, Netflix, HBO, basically any screen near you as far as movies go. And we are giving you the October month in preview. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike. And man, we have a loaded slate of Oscar contenders for you.
Been trying to tell everyone that the sprint is underway, and now it's nonstop every week almost now, especially starting in October. We're kind of getting one big heavy hitter after another, and we're going to go through it week by week as we always do. If you have not joined us for a monthly preview show before, what this is pretty much how I already explained it. We take a look forward, we go through week by week of what's coming out and what's debuting at your local theater, on your local TV, on streaming service. If it's worth your attention, we kind of give you a highlight for it. We tell you the highs, lows, if we're anticipating it, if we're excited for it, or if not, and why, and kind of just setting the table for you to make your own movie watching decisions.
Yeah, we give you some stats, some Rotten Tomatoes scores, all that kind of goodness, meta scores as Mike One likes to have.
Yes.
But yeah, this is a Halloween bag full of candy from our childhood like goodness for you today.
Halloween, the Michael Myers thing.
Who's that?
How dare you? I have a one-track mind about this month, but we will get into it. We're going to take this week by week. Like we said, we're going to start October 5th, the first weekend day in October. And what are we starting with, Michael?
So I'll take this first week. A Star is Born comes out. We will be reviewing this.
Never heard of it.
End of the week. Let's just make those jokes for the rest of the podcast. We previewed these so many times.
Oh, man. This one.
If you don't know, it's the best picture favorite by now. Listen to any one of our previous episodes to catch you up. And we talked about the film festival buzz. We kind of have all the stages of buzz for this film.
Yeah, and it's at a crescendo now. It's this trailer is literally everywhere.
It's phenomenal. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, Dave Chappelle, Sam Elliott. This will be the fourth version of the story. We had 1937's Janet Graner, Frederick March original.
Peak.
Yeah, won two and was nominated for 8 Oscars in total. The 1954 Judy Garland version was nominated for 6 Oscars.
Peak!
And the 1976 Barbra Streisand remake was nominated for 4 Oscars, winning Best Original Song.
Valley. Not well critically received.
I was wondering
one.
Where you're going with that. Peak? Peak? I thought you were having an aneurysm or something.
In due time.
We've praised this trailer. We've praised the music. We've kept you up to date on all the hype. To refresh you here, 87 Metascore, 95%, 8 out of 10 critics score on Rotten Tomatoes. Bradley Cooper won the Collateral Award at the 75th Venice Film Festival, Michael.
Look, we know about this. If you've been following me on Twitter with the posts I've had, I'm just sick of this trailer. It's just get to the movie. I'm so tired of this goddamn preview being on preview screens in movie theaters and on television screens when I'm trying to watch reality
TV. The TV spots suck.
Kill my brain. Did you know that Dave Chappelle is worried about Bradley Cooper, Mike?
He's worried.
Did you know that Bradley Cooper just wanted to take one more look at you?
Did you know that
it's time to let the old ways die? Were you aware of these facts?
Did you know that Lady Gaga is channeling Chris Farley from Tommy Boy at the dinner table? when she makes that face?
Definitely the only podcast to make that collection.
Oh, Chuck, I just want to take another look at you.
Just give me the movie. And I stand by my claim, by the way. Again, also, Mike just told you, we've reviewed this and
we love
previewed
Lady
it. We love everyone attached to this. This is a great cast.
You can make whatever faces she wants.
Why I want like the this. Movie already. And I stand by my prediction that this is going to quote unquote disappoint some people because it needs to be top 5 big 5 sweep caliber for it to win everything that everyone is so sure it's going to win. I don't think it's going to, but we'll see. I could be wrong.
I go up and down on these waves of hype because now I'm so overhyped that I'm thinking it can't be that good. Yeah. And then I'll go into it and be like, it's not going to be great. It'll be solid. And then it'll blow me away.
Listen, the hype is usually right. When we say don't live and die by the tomato meter, but when tomato meter, IMDb, Metascore, when they're all aligned like that for something's either great or not great, it's usually correct. So again, this has got the quack like a duck, looks like a duck thing we keep talking about.
Then again, the songs will come out on Spotify probably midweek, and we'll be listening to them all week, and we'll be just like flying.
I listen to Lady Gaga songs primarily throughout the day. as it is.
To each their own. Nah, we love Gaga. We reviewed 5 Foot Two back in one of our Netflix quarterlies there. We're excited to see that she's got some real Oscar buzz for Best Actress. But all the major categories, this is supposed to be a contender for him, Mike.
Yeah, I'm a 5 out of 5 Bradley Cooper Southern Drawls of Anticipation just to get this off my screen and see it already.
It's coming. The next big movie coming out this week is Venom. From a surefire Oscar contender to a likely spitfire for the fall box office.
So split on this.
Observer says it's going to be something like $60
million. Awesome.
This opening Great. Weekend.
Good. I hope so.
The previous mark to beat is Gravity's $55 million.
As far as an October opening, yeah. Like
October opening there. I'm interested in the team at work here. Tom Hardy can do covered face acting better than anybody, Michael.
I mean, what a run for covered face acting, by the way. Bane, yeah. Dunkirk, Venom now.
He's also done some awesomely bad things, like with Tattoo.
Not going to listen to this. I will not have you besmirch Mr. Hardy's
He's
good
had
name.
Some moments where he's flown off the deep end.
How dare you, sir?
He might do some of that in a convenience store in this trailer of this movie. I don't know if he's going to carry that through. You got great actors, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed, Ruben Fleischer from Zombieland and the upcoming Zombieland 2. He's also scheduled to do Jekyll, which I guess is a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. He's got some big properties.
This is Ruben Fleischer who's going to do
Ruben Fleischer, okay. The director. So he keeps getting work, Michael. Keeps getting work from big studios, so he must be pleasing them somehow.
This is a big, big movie, right? As far as universe building, I mean, it's obviously not for Oscar's purposes, but as far as universe building, and listen, the DCEU is in rough shape right now.
True.
The MCU is in great shape, but this is Sony kind of needing to find a nice home for Spider-Man to swing back into once those rights come back to them.
We love that Into the Spider-Verse trailer.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be up for a Best Animated Film Oscar, it looks like.
I hope so, and I hope it's as good as the hype.
Yeah, it gives us hope that Sony is starting to turn around their use of the Spider-Man franchise.
Right.
They'll make the Spider-Verse, actually. They're telegraphing it
there. Well, they're putting a lot of money into it, so the trailers look bad. And we've said that.
These
trailers look worrisome.
I don't even know what he's saying. It's like the Bane voice all over again.
It's rough. Some of the graphics don't look great. We're big Tom Hardy fans. We're big Spider-Man fans. We're big cinematic universe building fans. We love the idea of connections.
I love serialization.
Right. So we're hoping they're putting a lot of money into this, a lot of money, and they're hot-shotting apparently the Jared Leto Mobius, I think he's playing. They're going to hot-shot that. Was the Variety article I think I read. So I'm hopeful, I don't know if it's going to be Tom Holland when Spider-Man actually comes back to Sony or if they're going to change it up, but I'm hopeful that there's going to be enough here, enough money made that they can have this nice landing spot and have a villain universe built for Spider-Man to come fight once he comes back to Sony. I really want this to be good. I saw on Twitter they aren't showing previews until the day before release, though. That's never a good thing. Mm. We just did that Dance with the Nun, which we covered, and was kind of an awesomely bad thing, we thought. So my anticipation is 5 out of 5 amniotic symbiotes, but my expectations are probably a 3 out of 5 Bane masks right now.
Okay, very good. Glad you're going with that. I'm 5 out of 5.
It's going to be one of those episodes, people.
5 out of 5 A Star is Born, and I'm probably 2 out of 5 as well. That's a good score there. All right, limited releases, 10-5. The Hate U Give People's Choice Award nominee at Toronto. 2 out of 21 experts, Mike, have this up for Best Picture on Gold Derby.
A little noise, why not?
81 Metascore early, 100%, 8.3 out of 10 critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 16 reviews.
Yeah, low, 5.4 IMDb score right now, which makes no sense to me unless it's a troll job.
Starring Amanda Stenberg, Regina Hall, Issa Rae, Anthony Mackie, Common, Algie Smith, and Russell Hornsby, dealing with a lot of current issues, police violence, racial profiling, a lot of tough subject matter here, but it seems like the story flows pretty well through the trailer. I've seen the trailer too many times for the record, but...
it's been out there a lot, yeah. Not a Star is Born
numeration,
but
the goosebump factor on A Star is Born is still there.
I didn't know this was an adaptation of a young adult novel, written by Angie Thomas. Movie sounds like it goes for it and is very blunt about its messages, very serious message. Molly Freeman had a nice quote on the review she wrote for Screen Rant. It's a quote: "The Hate U Give never shies away from depicting the violence in Star's life, who's the main character's name, nor the emotional impact it has on her and her family. In fact, perhaps the only times in which the movie does pull its punches is in portraying the covert and overt racism racism of its white characters. Further, an on-the-nose moment in the film's climactic moments in which the themes of the film are explicitly touched upon and brought to a resolution show the movie went to great lengths to appeal to all audiences and that all audiences will understand its message. Sounds like something that's going to be very in your face. Right. Sounds like something that's going to be very memorable for the message of the movie, maybe more so than the performances or the directorial.
Well, I mean, there's a place for movies that just speak the truth, and we're happy without question for those. But then again, you know, we get aggravated with the Battle of the Sexes type films from last year that are just on the nose. On the Basis of Sex seems to be one of those. It's getting a lot of ugly buzz from the Twittersphere and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm about a 3.5 Spike Lee joints of anticipation.
Yeah, I'm about a 3 out of 5. I'm interested and I'm curious. Loving Pablo, now titled Escobar. This is another Michael Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz film. They're in like every movie together. Why don't you just get married already? Anyway, 42 Metascore, 26%, 4.8 out of 10 Rotten Tomatoes. A journalist strikes up a romantic relationship with notorious drug lord Pablo Escobar. So curious subject matter. Love the stars. The critics don't like this one.
Why is it so hard to get a movie starring Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz right? Why is that difficult?
Everybody knows got crapped upon.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, Javier Bardem, by the way, looks just like Pablo Escobar in the previews I saw and in the stills. So, but I get the critic scores killed. I'm a 1 out of 5 bricks of cocaine of anticipation for this.
Yeah, I'm 1 out of 5. Yeah. Probably not for me. Netflix release on October 5th. Private Life will finally debut.
Excited.
9/28. I mentioned that in a September pod. That was the trailer release, I guess. All the websites screwed me up online. But this is the dramedy with Paul Giamatti, Catherine Hahn, Tamara Jenkins, directorial effort. She's done Slums of Beverly Hills and Savages.
Yeah, it took a decade off, and now she's back.
Yeah, we're going to feature this one on our Netflix quarterly whenever we get to that in the middle of October or some such.
Yeah, God, time needs to stop because we got a lot of catching up to do, and I'm just not ready for it.
We'll have Quincy and probably Private Life there, and then we'll review the Romas and the other Netflix contenders probably on their own before we do a final quarterly. So that's October 5th. Quick VOD alert for 10/9, October 9th, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which I just saw and it was delightful.
Yeah, fine. You said it was very good.
Yeah, so it's a fun movie. Sorry to Bother You in 8th grade, we reviewed and gave the full Oscar Sprint profile treatment to. Love those movies. Mike, you have 10/10 in that next week there.
Yeah, 10/10, so we'll talk limited releases first. The Happy Prince, which is the Rupert Everett Oscar Wilde biopic. We've actually touched on this previously in one of our preview reviews.
Bad wigs.
Yeah, bad. 76% Rotten Tomatoes score right now, which was a little higher than we probably thought going in. A 6.8 out of 10 for average critical score. 67 Metascore, the number's not awful. Right. Stars some other terrific actors. Colin Firth is in there. Emily Watson's got a chance of being a solid film.
I saw this trailer before The Wife, and I can confirm that on the big screen, the makeup and the wigs don't get any better. It just looks so fake, Michael. I'm a fan of Rupert Everett, Colin Firth, Emily Watson. They all just showed up in The Wawa Diaries, a book I read by Richard E. Grant, who's going to contend for an Oscar this year for Can You Ever Forgive Me? I'm a fan of these folks, but it doesn't look great, and I'm surprised that those numbers are as high as they are.
Yeah, Rupert Everett went to the Oscar bait shop and bought some Oscar bait and put it on an Oscar baity line and stuck the Oscar bait into the water, tried to catch a stray Oscar with his Oscar bait.
Wow. Yeah, this is going for
1 out of 5 baits of Oscar for me.
Yeah, I'm probably like a 0.5 out of 5 at this point. Even if it holds those marks, like, it just, I know this movie's going to aggravate me.
The best
upset
this
about
movie,
that.
Yeah, the best this movie I think can do for us is, like, I think that's the best.
It might be a nice story, and I watch everything. I'll probably
you
see
do.
It.
You really do.
157 movies.
Don't
so
know
far
how
this
you
year.
Do this.
I'm insane.
22 July is also coming to Netflix on 10/10. We previewed in this our Oscar Trailers 4 episode. It's a Paul Greengrass, one of the more gruesome mass shootings ever in Norway, where 77 people were killed. Carrying decent scores right now: 76 Metascore, 84% Rotten Tomato, 7.3 out of 10 average critics score. Mike, you know me better than I know myself sometimes. Why am I disappointed with these perfectly above average scores?
It's because you're delusional and schizophrenic? Is that the word?
Could
term?
Be. Yeah. All right. I'll buy it.
I'm like the glass therapist right now. Let me tell you how crazy you are.
On the nose and exactly what's wrong.
What was your question?
Your thoughts on 22 July, sir?
Yes, I think this is going to be a good film. Paul Greengrass has handled these disasters and these nightmares with the utmost clarity and honesty, and he makes them into just riveting, harrowing films. If look at United 93, look at Sunday Bloody Sunday, he knows what he's doing. As long as he doesn't get too crazy with the camera and rattle my brain. Honestly, what was that movie with the first person... Hardcore Henry. Hardcore Henry. Yes. I couldn't even watch it. Yes. I made it through 30 minutes. I get motion sickness. I just.
Well, you're not a video game guy either. So you're not used. Yeah, you're not used to that perspective.
Can't do it. Like, Twitch would end my life. It would just would.
It's a big revelation that you just dropped here, letting your enemies in on some secrets.
I would just go and be done.
As far as Greengrass's approach to this and why he's become this kind of... He's been accused, certainly, of exploiting these national tragedies for nothing but personal gain and cinematic feats. But...
Yeah, but they don't make a ton of money, these movies. So it's like, you know, he's accused of that, and then these movies never hit in terms of box office or anything like that.
Well, that's point A. And point B, you could... Nancy Tartaglione had a great interview. I talked to Paul Greengrass about for Deadline Hollywood, Deadline.com. Talked to Paul Greengrass about this film before it debuted in Venice, and it's really a great read. It sticks out most to me that he's, you know, he is accused of being this exploitative guy, but he reads, I don't know if this is true, obviously we don't know him, but he reads certainly as a man that's really philosophical about globalism, politics, the human condition. He lays out the case that the Brevik character in this, who's the man that did these horrible crimes, these
Anders
horrible shootings.
Anders Danielsen Lee, he's getting some Oscar buzz of late.
Playing the big antagonist on this. He's an undeniably bad person, but it's actually the personification of where democracy in the Western world is headed. Mike, this interview, first of all, if you make films, if you're a screenwriter of any kind, I think it's really worth your while to read this. But this interview is just a man that feels so deeply about these subjects and so deeply about the subtext that goes into building up into these events and how they happen. You come away from this and you're like, there's no way this guy is just worried about, you know, shining a light on a tragedy and just doing it. He goes into depth about how he gets the family's permissions first. He wouldn't do it if they said they didn't want him to. It's just really, really a great read. This is not Paul. I have a whole new respect for Paul Greengrass after this and a whole new anticipation. I think if you read this, it's going to put you in his POV as to what he was seeing while making this movie. And I really think it's worth your while to read. Anyway, I'm a 5 out of 5 for this. Can't wait.
Cygnus Award winner, honorable mention at Venice, Thornburn Har and Anders Danielsen Lee are getting some Oscar buzz of late. Like I said, ADL showed up on Award Circuit's Top 40. Yeah, I mean, this comes on Netflix. We're watching it.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Bad Times at the El Royale. We're talking wide releases on October 12th now. Mike, you're very, very excited for this
Finally,
one.
Finally, we shall see what Drew Goddard has up his sleeve here. We've reviewed this twice in our Oscar trailer episodes, the two trailers that have been released. Yeah, starring John Hamm, Dakota Johnson, Chris Hemsworth, Cynthia Erivo, and Jeff Bridges. Also a bellhop who's got a dark past, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, and Jeff Bridges plays a priest who admits not a priest. I can't wait for the big twist in this movie to turn out that he actually is a priest. No gunshots happen, and everyone just ends up praying for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's a good finale.
Variety had an article recently that actually Bad Times at the El Royale had the most TV ad spending behind it last week, spending about $5.2 million on various broadcasts.
I just wish the TV spots were better.
You don't like them?
The first trailer was awesome, and then I
think they're
the
better than A Star Is Born.
They're
the
better
TV
than
spots.
A Star Is Born. That's a low bar.
It is. I mean, fair, but still, there's intrigue.
I mean, A Star Is Born, why are we tripping up on TV spots? Just let her sing. Just let him sing.
That's true.
And just, yeah, have a piece of that one great trailer that makes me just, you know, hyperventilate every time I see it, and keep doing that. What are you doing?
It's probably a fair point, but anyway, the $5.2 million they spent last weekend shows to me they expect El Royale to have a pretty big domestic box office number. So this was definitely, I think, going to classify as one of those popular films that the Academy wants no part of.
The Cabin in the Woods is a cult classic, if there ever was one. We're dying to see what's going on here.
You're probably a 5 out of 5, I would think.
I'm a 5 out of 5.
I'm a 4 out of 5 John Hamm's hair gels worth of
John Hamm hair is the best.
He's a beautiful man. He really is.
In every movie. Yeah. Next movie, Mike.
First Man also comes out this weekend. What a loaded weekend this is. Finally, we're going to get our hands on the Neil Armstrong biopic. Ryan Gosling, Claire Foy are the main characters. Damien Chazelle coming off La La Land, in which he won Best Director. This is his first movie since. He also did Whiplash, of course. Screenwriter of Spotlight, we have Josh Singer doing this one. 83 Metascore right now, 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.8 out of 10 average critic score. We got Jason Clarke, Corey Stoll, Kyle Chandler, Clarence Hines is in this. This is a big one.
Yeah, I wish the numbers were even higher. I want them higher. I want this movie to be so good. I just love that first trailer so much. I'm a big fan of Damien Chazelle in his past two films. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. We got to look into the NASA screenings. They're holding 60 free screenings over the next 2 weeks.
We're a Connecticut podcast. The only place they're doing it here is in Hartford, which is a bit of ways from us, but... This is a big movie. This is a definite leader in the clubhouse.
MMO
this,
road trip, maybe?
I would imagine they're sold out already. I think it just went live last night. But this is a big, and we're going to keep saying it, but A Star Is Born. Those are the two biggies
right now.
You might
have the two contenders for Best Picture released this month.
Yeah, it's really true. I'm 4 out of 5, 4.5 City of Stars.
5 out of 5.
You just can't get enough of any of these. Goosebumps.
5 out of 5. Sorry.
Goosebumps 2?
No.
Goosebumps 2 is the next one. And so we have A Star Is Born. And The First Man.
Counter-programming.
Goosebumps 2.
Yeah, counter-programming.
Jack Black getting back into it. He's playing the R.L. Stein role, which is what he did in the first Goosebumps movie.
I don't know movie. If he's in this movie, Mike.
He is. Okay. Don't ever question me about Goosebumps. We got Chris Parnell in this, Ken Jeong, directed by Ari Sandell of The Duff, and When We First Met from Netflix. We reviewed those a while back in one of our quarterlies.
Yeah, no reviews yet.
Yeah, nothing
no.
for you?
No, thanks.
It's the first movie I looked into.
Wait, you have way too much written here.
Yeah,
for this.
So here's the thing. When we talked about, we're on record over and over again talking about how it's 2.5 times production budget. That's kind of the standard we've used as far as... So I went into the financials of Goosebumps 1, and I was wondering, how the hell did this get a sequel? Because it didn't seem like it made a whole lot of money.
Well, it got two sequels, The House with a Clock in Its Walls and Goosebumps 2.
Right. What? Okay.
Night at the Spooky Museum, or what's the subtitle?
That's pretty much what it is, but anyway. So the first Goosebumps movie had $150 million worldwide box office, $80 million domestically. It was made for about a $60 million budget. I wanted to see exactly what people in the industry call and use as a rule of thumb for guidelines now to go by. Charlie Jane Anders wrote for IO9 and Gizmodo. Now, granted, this is an article I found. It was written in 2011, so who knows if it's even applicable to these days. But the two rule of thumbs I walked away from, it was a very informative article. And like anything else in law, business, movies, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. The answer to everything of how do you do this or what happens when is it depends.
Right.
But the two rules of thumb I walked away from is a movie needs to make 2 times its budget worldwide. So the worldwide box office has to bring in 2 times its budget in order for it to break even.
Right.
This was kind of the case that was laid out. And print and advertising costs are generally considered to be at least 50% of a movie's budget, increasing if the movie's budget is long, bigger, wider. Obviously, Infinity War, $300 million budget movie, would probably have a production budget probably in who knows how many.
I wonder how much of that. I wonder how much of that is, you know, given to the public, like is included in the Box Office Mojo budget listing.
Right. And that's another point they made is that studios are very secretive with their hardcore financials. But so using the benchmarks of 2.5, 2 times its budget for worldwide, if Goosebumps 1 was made for about $60 million, 120 is 2 times that, and worldwide box office brought in $150 million. So yeah, I guess it did make a little money, and now we're getting a sequel because of it.
It had to make money if it sequels greenlighted there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not happy about it.
I mean, it's going to make money on digital. Kids watch movies at home more than the rest of us, right?
It's another great point that hits up the article.
You people, because I watch movies just as much as kids or more. But
another great point that the article brought up is that the home box office is really where a lot of money is made. So you're absolutely right.
Especially
this is probably
movies.
Yeah, probably exactly what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. Talk about some limited releases coming out October 12th. How'd you like it? You just spent 5 minutes on Goosebumps 2. You feeling good about your Oscars podcast right now? Beautiful Boy comes out. Timothy Chalamet getting a lot of buzz. There was a hardcore argument. We're taping this a little earlier than you'll hear, but there was an argument on Twitter yesterday about if Chalamet is actually a supporting actor or a lead actor in this.
Yeah, it seems like he's one of the two main characters. Is he the antagonist to the father character?
Yeah.
It's about the father, and the son's the drug addict, and the son's driving his father up a wall and through the ringer there. And yeah, 11 out of 21 on Gold Derby, for the record, have him up for Best Supporting Actor.
That's kind of low.
Bunch of number ones.
Well, 11 out of 20, and that's 50%? I thought it would be a little higher than that, because everyone that's seen this is raves about it.
The movie didn't get great scores.
Middling scores, yeah. 64 Metascore, 75% on Rotten Tomato right now, 6.2 out of 10 average critic score.
It's a little alarming.
It is. I'm excited nonetheless. This seems to be a one performance show, though, much like The Wife, which we just gave the Oscar Sprint Profile treatment to. And yeah, I'm surprised because
The Wife's numbers were bigger than 60s, though.
It's true.
It's like 80 to 70 kind of thing. And these are down. I mean, maybe it'll bump up after the rest of the critical community.
We thought that maybe Carell would get some play for his role in this.
We said this was the year of Steve Carell.
Yeah, get Steve Carell an Oscar. And it's just not shaping up that way. So swing and a miss there from us.
It could be such a hardcore drama that people are... It touches nerves for him, and it's so tough to watch that maybe that's puts a little distaste to it, and it's going to be so limited, and who knows, maybe it just doesn't get off the ground. I mean, we've seen that with other movies before.
Certainly.
It just won't expand that much at the end of the day. We'll see.
5 out of 5 Dunder Mifflin paper cases of anticipation for me.
Yeah, we're going to see it. Yep. But I'm kind of like a 4 out of 5, I'd say, because the numbers irk me a little bit.
Yeah. I'm interested to see why the numbers are so low, too. The Oath is coming out wide as well. Ike Barinholtz from Blockers. Tiffany Haddish, who is probably the biggest star going right now, is in everything. She's awesome and very, very funny.
It's funny in this trailer, goddamn.
Yeah, it's a very unique concept, too. If you've seen the trailer for The Oath, the president in this movie wants every American to sign an oath of loyalty to America, and it's brought up over Thanksgiving dinner, which just devolves into... It's like your family Thanksgiving dinner political arguments, but taken to the nth degree.
Yeah, they get into knife fights, guns are drawn. It's insane, and it's pretty funny. Tasers.
I put on Twitter yesterday, I was so underratedly excited for this movie.
Because
I think it's going to be so cathartic to see. Especially because it comes out around Thanksgiving time, a little before.
It's awesome. Like a movie up our alley made for us.
Totally. Cannot wait. We'll move on to Netflix movies coming out on the 12th of October. Apostle is coming out. Apostle's on Netflix. Gareth Edwards, who did the Raid movies, get high scores right now. High and low. 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. 6.5 out of 10 critic score. There's that thing again where I guess critics are saying they like it, but they're not willing to rate it all that highly. And that's kind of where the disconnect comes.
I am so out for this movie.
Yeah, you're not this type of person.
I love The Raid, and I love The Raid 2, but I hate torture porn, and I hate religious movies, and this is both of those. They're just torturing heretics, or what they think are heretics. Michael Sheen, Lucy Boynton, Dan Stevens, Christine Froseth. I like this cast, but...
Just put it in my veins, man. This is why we make a great team. You can't stand this stuff, and I can't get enough.
Ew, I can't even get through the trailer. Yeah. I just want to shut the trailer off.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
No.
I'm 4 out of 5 for that, as a dismay.
0 out of 5, I'm not seeing it. You're going to have to watch this one. I'm a scaredy cat, no way.
We'll go to VOD releases a couple days later, October 16th. Boundaries, which is a Vera Farmiga drama that got good reviews. I don't think it's something we've touched on previously.
Not yet, no, we'll see it when it comes on VOD there. I want to see it.
Generation Wealth is a documentary about...
Wealth
in a generation.
So stupid.
I'm sorry. You got the next week, Michael. Let's just get to the next date already.
10/19.
Yes!
Halloween!
Yes!
Okay, so 10/19, Mike, it's your day. Just in time for October 31st, Halloween, a week leading into it.
I think it's genius marketing, too, to put it a couple days before Halloween like this.
Jamie Lee Curtis is Laurie Strode. Nick Castle is Michael Myers / The Shape. Judy Greer.
Welcome back.
Andy Matichak, Will Patton, James Jude, Courtney, Rian Rees, and Toby Huss. The trailers are great. We've reviewed each of them in their own episodes, Michael. Directed by David Gordon Green, and I was surprised to look at his filmography here. There's as many good dramas as there are comedies. He did Undertow, which is an underrated drama back in the day. That was like my first movie that I've seen of his. Pineapple Express, cool. Your Highness, one of those is great. The other one, not so much in terms of comedies.
I loved Your Highness, man.
The Sitter.
I thought it was so stupid funny.
The Sitter was, I don't know, eh.
The Sitter, yeah.
Prince Avalanche was kind of boring.
Never saw it.
Paul Rudd. It was fine. Joe with Nicolas Cage is good. Nicolas Cage. A bunch of episodes of Eastbound and Down. David Gordon Green directed those for his buddy Danny.
Hurry up.
He also directed Red Oaks, a bunch of episodes, Vice Principals. Last year's Stronger with Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm just going to try and keep talking and talking and talking so Mike can't speak here.
But he's
super prolific.
Yes.
Written by Gordon Green and Eastbound and Down. vice principal star Danny McBride there.
So I'm going to not gush about this as much because we already have two full episodes committed to trailers to this because of my lunacy and my partner's a nice person.
I think we should just move on. Yeah, I mean...
just glaze by. Well, we are. We're going to move on. We're going to have more to say about this. We're going to do a whole movie event, and this is probably a good time to reveal to everyone here that if you have not heard yet, we are planning on doing an entire Halloween rewatch, much in the same vein we did with the MCU and Mission Impossible. So those are going to be coming out shortly. You'll be able to follow along with those. If you have not seen all these movies, let me just preface this.
I have not seen all these movies.
This movie, I honest to God think the last three Halloween movies, if you combine their scores, don't equal what this one is doing right now.
Cool for this
movie. But they are ridiculous watches. The Rob Zombie ones, obviously, that he did two reboots as well. One and two. So we're going to be doing a whole series on that. Look out for that. I will reserve any more yelling and screaming and breaking your speakers for our official review of this movie. Suffice to say, I'm very excited.
Yeah, 84%, 7.2 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes there, 66 Metascore, 42 out of 50 critics, gave it positive reviews. It did do a film festival circuit kind of thing.
And it got high marks from critics.
Yeah, I mean, your favorite John Carpenter is on board as a composer slash producer.
We need to figure out a way to preserve life so he never dies, because I already lost Wes Craven, and that's as much as I'm willing to give up.
Well, he's on board. Laurie Strode is being cast as the original favorite.
So they just there. Entertainment Weekly just reviewed their fall preview.
That's
edition.
A great cover.
Oh, it's so cool, isn't it?
Cover. Yeah, it's we so retweeted cool. it. Yeah, definitely check that out. And the next movie, Mike, is Serenity. What's the premise here, Mike?
The mysterious past of a fishing boat captain comes back to haunt him when his ex-wife tracks him down with a desperate plea for help in snaring his life in a new reality that may not be all that it seems. If I had just $1 for every ex-wife of mine that came back into my life.
And
we have no idea what this movie's about.
If I would have... dollar for every time all that it seems was in a premise. Yeah, no, we don't. Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Diane Lane, Damon Hansu, Jeremy Strong, and Jason Clarke.
Great
all names
cast.
We've said before. Yeah, very I mean, the talented. Trailer looks like it's a mind bender. I've given you my theory after watching that last trailer in Oscar trailers for...
Where is the genesis of that theory, by the way?
It just came to me. Yeah, it just came to me. Really, I think he's in purgatory, reliving the same playing out of this crime that maybe either got him killed or struck, you know, reshaped his life.
I either want you to be 100% right or like the most wrong that you've ever been.
It's just the way everybody's looking at him.
Like you're like, this is a big meta thing. He's in purgatory and it's for his sins, but really he's just like getting ready to go to a card game.
The ensemble here is just like preaching to him, telling him that, you know, don't do wrong, don't do bad. I hope you're going to do good today. Like, you're just preaching at him all the time.
Jason Clarke does give off a bit of a too cool devilish vibe, a la Robert De Niro's Louis Cipher in Angel Heart.
Oh, that's an ominous character, and it's a great evil beard.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But we'll see. I mean, written and directed by Stephen Knight, he wrote Eastern Promises, wrote and directed Locke, he wrote the upcoming...
Two great movies.
The upcoming Girl in the Spider's Web there.
With a great trailer. Girl in the Spider's Web, what a trailer that is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I'm kind of in. Claire Foy, you can't do no wrong these days. So, if you're teaming up with Claire Foy and other stuff...
Also, a really cool poster on IMDb, I noticed. It's like McConaughey and Hathaway's faces with the boat going through water, but the water's all red behind them, signifying blood.
But 3 out of 5. This is your favorite month.
Halloween is my like Christmas, but I'm 4 out of 5. All right, all right, all right.
Nice. You're getting very creative with these.
Thank you.
10/19 limited releases. Can you ever forgive me? Question mark. The month of Oscar contenders continues here. Michael, Melissa McCarthy up for Best Actress in this film, playing Ruth Israel, a floundering novelist who
decides... I didn't know this was a true story.
Yeah.
I just learned that this morning, because really? I'm dumb.
I wonder if she said what she said in court in
actuality. Yeah, it's true. I don't know, but yeah.
But she decides to make rent by forging notes of great writers because her novels aren't selling there. 16 out of 21 Gold Derby for McCarthy right now. And she's not the only contender. You have Muriel Heller, director of The Diary of a Teenage Girl, at the helm of this. And a script by Nicole Holoff Center. Wrote and directed this year's The Land of Steady Habits. And
really
of course,
glad there's two women at the helm of this too, for as far as writing and directing goes. Because this is a very unique... I mean, there's that feeling that we can never relate to about how the feelings a woman has about being isolated and alone and really trying to find their way professionally, certainly in the world. So I think the take we're going to get on this is going to be really something special.
Yeah, it seems like a personal story, the way these trailers, right, and the way McCarthy's, you know, knocking out of the park here. James Gandolfini's last film was another that Hall Center wrote, enough said there. A lot of buzz for Richard E. Grant as well, Michael, from Gosford Park and With Nail and I, from the Wawa Diaries that I just read.
He was in Gosford Park, so I have no use for him.
He's going to be in the next.
That's a joke.
He's going to be in the next Star Wars film. 16 out of 20 on Gold Derby with two number ones. Richard E. Grant, serious contender.
Not someone and not a performance that had a lot of early momentum.
That's more than Chalamet, by the way. We all assume Chalamet is like the front runner, and yet this guy has better numbers from the experts.
And supporting, again, if you've been listening to us long term, supporting are the ones that kind of get set early and don't move. Those are the ones that kind of are I mean, we had last year was the Metcalf and Janney argument, which kind of was a surprise. But again, supporting actor gets set. J.K. Simmons a couple years ago, Rockwell last year, they get set early and that's it. Happens. They don't move.
Well, once Scott Feinberg predicts it, then we're done.
Like most things in life, yes.
83 Metascore, 100%, 7.9 out of 10 critic score. Huge numbers here.
Yeah, Julianne Moore apparently was originally attached to this, supposed to be playing the Lee Israel role. She dropped out because of creative differences, so it's kind of one of those Hollywood stories. That was Wikipedia, right? It's kind of one of those Hollywood stories that now we're discussing McCarthy as a potential Oscars contender in something that Julianne Moore was supposed to do, which was supposed to be her first performance after Still Alice, which was her Academy Award-winning performance.
Instead, Bel Canto happened.
Right.
Whoops. That's on VOD right now. I almost watched it. We reviewed a trailer way back. And
didn't pull the trigger?
No, it got like 20%.
It still looks interesting. Yeah, all right.
What do you give this here, Mike?
A 5 out of 5
you
shits.
You upstaging
in the
son of a bitch.
5 out of 5 shits.
These are genius.
Very excited for this.
Shits in the street. That's a great.
Oh, you're doing it.
Great scene.
You're shitting in the street.
Oh, my God. Nah, yeah, I'm about a 5 out of 5 here. I'm going to see this. No question. I'm going to love this. No question. Mid-90s, another limited release there. Jonah Hill's skateboarder coming-of-age movie set in the 90s there. Stars Lucas Hedges.
Say your joke.
Mid-90s, Jonah Hill's skateboarder coming-of-age movie here set in the 80s, Michael? Worst joke ever! Take 7. Well, how do I write that and think that that's going to play for people, who intelligent people that
here
listen to our podcast?
He's unraveling again.
I'm just completely unraveling.
Just the introspection. You use these podcasts. This has become Mike's therapy.
Starring Lucas Hedges in yet another movie. He's the film festival king.
Absolutely everywhere. Prom king.
Yeah, prom king there. Sonny Suljic and Nikhil Smith also star. 80 Metascore, 95%, 7.3. Cool trailer. Looks good. We're rooting for it.
Big time. Love Jonah Hill. Love the publicity and the momentum this seems to be getting. Hate that people have referred to this on social media as the male Lady Bird. I think both this film and Gerwig's Lady Bird deserve better than that. And it suggests that the former is just a gender swapped carbon copy and the latter is an easily replicated blueprint. Yeah, I hate it. That said, I'm a 4 out of 5 dick-shaped foods excitement for it.
Awesome.
I'm writing to my audience, that's all. That's nobody great. Listening has any idea, but as long as you're giggling, that makes me happy.
What They Had is the next movie here. This is a drama featuring Hilary Swank, Robert Forster, Michael Shannon, Thaisa Farmiga, Josh Lucas, and Blythe Danner. We haven't touched on this one yet.
No, kind of came out of nowhere. The IMDb synopsis, Bridget, who's played by Hilary Swank, returns home at her brother's, who's played by Michael Shannon, urging to deal with their ailing mother, Blythe Danner's character, and her father's, Robert Forster's character, reluctant to let go of their life together. This one is like the saddest premise.
Sad premise. Hilary Swank has been in a lot of sad premises before. Robert Forster from Jackie Brown, Michael Shannon, Shape of Water, Thaisa Farmiga from The Nun.
He's like, also the guy that Sean Connery needs to find in Finding Forrester.
Is he?
No.
Wow, I
that
thought
was
my
a terrible
that.
Joke.
That was pretty bad. Written and directed by Elizabeth Chomko, her directorial debut. She was an actress, long-time actress in Terriers, Common Law, a lot of TV stuff. I've always liked Hilary Swank. I know a lot of people have given her a lot of crap over the years. I'm a big fan of Shannon. I'm a big fan of this cast, so I'm intrigued.
Yeah, same here. I like the cast. Tough subject matter. You never like to deal with parents suffering senility, getting older and stuff, mind going. It's a terrible thing. A lot of people got to deal with it, unfortunately. There are some cliches all around in this trailer. I reminded when Michael Shannon reminds his father that he's a bar owner, Dad, not a bartender.
Does he give the crazy eyes for it? I didn't watch the trailer.
I know, but I couldn't stop thinking of Joe Bluth. You don't have time for my illusions, Dad.
That's a great show. We gotta watch the new season. I don't know. Have you seen the new season
yet?
Arrested
Development? It's hysterical. It killed me. Yeah, way better than season 4, I thought.
I gotta see it for in time for Netflix whenever we do that. Anyway, The Guilty, 2018's The Guilty here. This looks like a foreign film being released a year later. 80 Metascore, those, which made me put it down. Directed by Gustav Miller. A police officer assigned alarm dispatch duty enters a race against time when he answers an emergency call from a kidnapped woman. Intriguing premise.
This is kind of the exact same premise as one of those, the Call, I think it was called, from Holly Berry from WWE Studios back in like 2009. I remember seeing it, which was, a fine thriller. It was whatever. But and also, the guy in this poster looks like either John Cena or Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You think a lot of people look like John Cena?
I think every white man with muscles looks like John Cena.
HBO on October 20th, My Dinner with Hervé. This is a wild trailer, Michael. It's apparently a true story about the recently sober journalist played by Jamie Dornan goes to interview Hervé Villachese, who was the star of Fantasy Island, was in the Bond film Man with the Golden Gun.
Look, boss, the plane.
Yeah, I mean, he was touted in this trailer as the most famous little person in the world at that time.
Which is probably unquestionably true.
Right.
And much like the most famous little person in the world at this time is playing him.
Peter Dinklage, putting on quite the accent. I don't know if I'm buying it yet there, Michael. I think I am, but I don't know. Andy Garcia, Morel Enos, also in this one.
Peter Dinklage is maybe the most versatile actor going right now. He does everything so convincingly, so I have no doubt that he's going to be able to pull this off, and it's going to be another masterclass performance by him.
He's good. He's great in Three Billboards. I keep watching that. That's like my new going to sleep
movie.
He's
so underrated in that.
I just saw him in I Think We're Alone Now, where he plays like the last man on Earth. There's a Fanning sister, and you know, it's kind of good. And it's worth watching.
Yeah, Infinity War movie. Yeah. I mean, he's
his accent cracked in the Infinity War movie, which is a little nitpick, but still good. Last week here, Mike. 1026.
Start with the wide releases on October 26th. Hunter Killer, starring Gerard Butler, Gary Oldman, Linda Cardellini, Common, and Toby Stevens, all star. The IMDb synopsis: an untested American submarine captain teams with U.S. Navy SEALs to rescue the Russian president who has been kidnapped by a rogue general.
Ridiculous trailer. It looks like Battleship from years ago with Rihanna, right?
But that one was really a great box office pull. Battleship.
Ridiculous. So we have the producers of the Fast and Furious movies. I'm not going to lie. It looks like awesomely bad goodness in this trailer. They have to, you know, reverse a coup happening in Russia with nothing but submarines and missile.
What if this movie is the actual Rocky IV event that brings the U.S. and Russia closer together and ends this new Cold War that we've entered?
What if this movie is just a blip on the radar and nobody even notices it? And it just makes half its box off, half its budget.
How is this not White House Down underwater or something? Isn't that like, is this not the exact same thing? Gerard Butler's even in it.
It looks kind of crazy. It's like
Olympus Has Fallen or what?
It's like Olympus Has Fallen meets Global Storm. What was that?
Geostorm. Geostorm. Yes.
No, thank you. 0 out of 5.
Not crazy about it myself. Indivisible is next. Indivisible is the extraordinary true story of Army Chaplain Darren Turner and his wife Heather. When war etches battle scars on their hearts, they face one more battle, the fight to save their marriage. One marriage, one family, under God. No, thank you.
Just be a Lifetime movie or be a TV movie. Like, what's going on here? I don't understand this.
Ripping through these, Johnny English 3. It's again Rowan Farrow is back. Rowan Atkinson is back. He's Mr. Bean. He's Johnny English. We haven't had a Johnny English movie in forever.
Have you seen any of these?
Way back.
I think I might have seen the first one.
Yeah, been a long time.
Might have been worth a chuckle or two.
And I also don't think I was able to differentiate between what that was in a Mr. Bean skit. So
he's like a weird talent. Good for him.
He's been a career.
Girl. He's a vaudevillian actor, and he's been making bank for 100 years.
Oh, boy. The limited release is 1026.
There we go.
This is probably why Halloween is coming out the week before and not 1026, because Suspiria, the remake, is coming out on 1026 limited, a 70% Rotten Tomato score right now, 8.2 out of 10 average critic score. Very strong numbers, and they seem to be going up.
Yeah. They went up. They were in the 50s last time we discussed it, 50s, 60s. Now we have 70%, 8.2 out of 10 critic score, Mike. That's those are good numbers.
And let it be on the record that you were one of the first to have that theory about Tilda Swinton and some other character in this movie. About
you know what she's dressing up for Halloween.
Yeah. Nobody's addressed it. I've also avoided spoilers, but nobody's been head on with that being true. And you can go back and listen to one of our previous episodes to hear the full theory in full. But people are tiptoeing. I think you might be onto something there. I think you might be onto something.
I can spot a fake wig with some hair plugs a mile away. That's my one of my two talents. The other one, what that is. Yeah. So I just have one talent. Anyway, Luca Guadagnino, we're loving everything he does lately. Call Me By Your Name, A Bigger Splash. Two really good movies the last 4 years there.
Matt Neglia, especially from Next Best Picture, we like talking to him a lot. He's very much a fan of this movie and how it kind of plays with his emotions. You're not going to see it be up for any Oscars or anything, most likely, but it's definitely, from what I've seen, a very unique cinematic experience.
I'm hoping it's like a sleeper Oscar contender somewhere.
Oh, I would love
just
it.
Just somewhere. Give me like a Tilda Swinton Best Supporting Actress nod somewhere.
Five out of five panes of stained glass of excitement.
Yeah, I'm five out of five. I'm going to see this. I'm really excited to see it. I'm ready to be patient because I understand it's a long movie.
Two and a half hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours. I'm in. One of the last ones wrapping up here. Viper Club, a war correspondent, gets taken hostage while on assignment, prompting his mother, impatient with the government's lack of concern, to take matters into her own hands. Directed by Miriam Kasavarts. Stars Matt Bomer, Susan Sarandon, Edie Falco. Kind of a big cast there.
Yeah, big names. Susan Sarandon hasn't done much with movies of late. She's been in Feud, Betty and Joan. Mm-hmm. Edie Falco's been all over the place. She's been prolific these last few years. I was happy to see kind of a resurgence in her career with all these Netflix movies, et cetera, et cetera. I'm kind of in on VOD if it gets good reviews. We don't know yet. I love those two actresses.
Yeah, same here. Matt Bomer is always doing good work as well, so I don't know much about it and wasn't really privy to it prior to getting ready for this recording today, but yeah. Why not?
I've enjoyed some of these direct-to-VOD movies. I really have.
They're better than the stigma would suggest them to be. We had that time in the early 2000s where if you went straight to DVD, straight to VOD, you had such a problem. But now, because of the evolution of cinema, they kind of sometimes don't have a choice other than to put them out and try to get money right away from...
Yeah, I mean, the Children Act, Mandy, there's a bunch of them that we've reviewed in the past that I've watched recently. They're just, they're quality films and they're worth watching. And it's, if it would pay $5, it's not that big of a deal, $6.
Summer of 84 is another one. Good horror movie just came out.
Yes, I saw that too. It was good.
Yeah. Burning is going to be one of the last ones we finish up with. Here is a 148-minute runtime. We've talked about it before. It's carrying an 89 Metascore right now. What a year for foreign films. Again, the IMDb synopsis, Jung Soo, a part-time worker, bumps into Hai Mi while delivering, who used to live in the same neighborhood. Hai Mi asks him to look after her cat while she's on a trip to Africa. When Hai Mi comes back, she introduces Ben, a mysterious guy she met in Africa, to Jung Soo. One day, Ben visits Jung Soo's with Hai Mi and confesses his own secret hobby. Obviously, Steven Yeun playing the mysterious Ben character there.
From The Walking Dead.
We're fans of this. We are very excited for this. Very excited for foreign film in general this year.
He's moving into a lot of indie films with Sorry to Bother You.
True.
This year. Steven Yeun, I love everything he's been doing, and I love mysteries coming out of South Korea. They've just, the last 15 years, from Memories of Murder all the way through the Park Chan-wook, crazy mystery movies, I love them all.
We dipped our toe into the best foreign film category last year, where I think we're going to take a bigger dive this year, because you got Burning, Shoplifters, Roma, Cold War. Two of those already, Roma and Cold War specifically, are getting Best Picture pushes.
These are premises that are just up our alley.
Totally.
Mystery trailers that have been awesome. We're in.
Can't wait. And Mile 22 is the last one we'll finish up on. It's supposedly coming out on demand, VOD, on October 30th.
VOD alert. Mark Wahlberg is supposedly awesomely bad in this one, and it might be in a good way.
He has one of those every, 7 years. What was it the last time we hit Contraband?
Right.
He came out in Contraband. It was a January release, and I remember thinking, what are you doing? And now I know. He's getting money.
Yeah, he's just like, blend in, dog, and I'm going to look 10 times before I cross the street.
If any of you haven't, or are recent listeners to us and new listeners, also Mike has this long-standing grudge with Mark Wahlberg, and it's a dream of mine to get them in the cage together someday.
He would kick my ass in a, hot minute.
I'd be your corner man.
It would be a hot minute, though.
I'd be a corner man like Mickey. Get him, Mike.
I bite, I claw.
You gotta fight.
Rip some hair. No punching to the hair or face. I'd only punch to the hair or face.
Ain't nothing over. Just give me a drink. That was an Lipton Nesty commercial.
What is happening right now?
These we went down a hard.
I thought that was just like a little ad, and then we talked about Mark Wahlberg for 5 minutes. We're crazy.
So that's it. That's the big titles coming out in the big and smaller screens, limited releases, Netflix, HBO. You get it all covered. All your movie wants, our needs are all there in October. The highlights, obviously, being A Star Is Born, First Man, Halloween. A couple more in there that you don't want to miss. It's going to be a busy month for us and hopefully a busy month for you guys as you get to see a lot of these.
We'll have Oscar movie reviews. We'll have Halloween stuff. We'll have all kinds of programming for you. We've been really putting out a variety throughout the summer. I think we're going to have a mix. We won't have to drop 100 OSPs on you right before the Oscar season.
Right.
We're covering them
trying
as
to space
we go.
Those out.
So we can, we can have more fun and to kind of give you the ongoing variety that you've been getting from MMO here.
So yeah, if you need something to listen to get you through your week, we just had a plethora of episodes drop recently. We are doing Oscar Sprint profiles on The Nun. We think Glenn Close is definitely going to give someone some competition. We touch on that in there. We just, what's another one we did?
Searching, Crazy Rich Asians, Black Klansman, Mission Impossible, Fallout, all the way through Eighth Grade and Isle of Dogs and Incredibles 2 and Quiet Place. And
how did you have all this
Ant-Man
off the top
and the
of
Wasp? And
I just get lost in the weeds when we record, but good for
First
you.
First Reformed.
Yeah, we've done it all. If you, no matter what category you're interested in, we have an Oscar Sprint profile, or we'll have an Oscar Sprint profile to satiate your needs there. But until then, we want to hear from you.
We satiate needs here at Mike.
That was going to be our original tagline. We want to hear what you think about any of these movies. Are you excited for any? Are you dressing up like Michael Myers through all of these movies just to watch them, as I will be?
One day a year, everybody enables him to just hide in plain sight. I keep botching this delivery of this joke, but that's true.
Reach out to us, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, MikeMikeAndOscar.com at gmail.com and on Reddit. We want to hear from you guys. Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. And Michael, final words of wisdom here?
October, go to the movies. It's a great month.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to live in my movie theater. But that's because I'm homeless.
I'm getting AMC tomorrow.
Are you really?
Finally, I decided.
Wow, you really
I have
buried,
to because we got to go see
the
all these
there.
Movies.
Yeah.
We got to do it. And MoviePass is just going to play games with me. I'm just going to get too frustrated. I'm going to spend an extra $100 a month. I got to go to the movies now.
This is shaving.
Now I got to go.
This is shaving up to be an expensive month.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to rob a bank.
A lot of these movies are going to be playing wide, so let's do it.
All right. Good words of wisdom. Let's end on that. Guys, we will check you out next time.
See ya.
Attaboy.